This evening's scripturing will come from Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple.
Good evening, church. You can leave your Bibles on Luke 14:26, what Anthony just read. We're going to spend a little bit of time here talking about Christian discipleship. That is, if I had the title, the lesson for tonight, it would be Christian discipleship. By definition, a disciple is a follower, one who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrines of another. A Christian disciple is a person who follows Jesus Christ and accepts and assists in spreading of the good news of the salvation through Jesus Christ. Christian discipleship is the process by which disciples grow in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are also equipped with the Holy Spirit to overcome the pressures and the trials that are present so that we can become more Christ-like in our efforts. This process requires believers to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting to examine our thoughts, examine our words, and also examine our actions and compare them to how they reflect upon the Word of God. This requires that we study, we examine the Word of God on a regular basis. We study it. We also should be praying over it and also obeying it. We should always be ready to give a testimony of the reason of the hope that lives within us. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and also to disciples to others to follow in Christ's way. According to the scriptures, being a Christian disciple involves personal growth and development. So I wanted to talk briefly a little bit tonight on the things needed in order to be a Christian disciple. First, putting Jesus first in all things is read in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. This is where Christ says, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." A disciple of Christ needs to be set apart from the world. A Christian disciple can't be someone that is caught up in worldly things, someone that places worldly things before Christ. Our focus should always be on our Lord and what we can do to please Him in every area and aspect of our lives. We must put off that selfish, self-centeredness mentality and put on Christ-centeredness as the focus in our life. So someone that, as a Christian disciple, you can't have that selfish mentality that always me first, me first, me first, and not thinking of others. Jesus clearly speaks against that. Following Jesus' teachings. Secondly, following Jesus' teachings. We read in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. It reads as follows. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We must be obedient. We must be obedient children and doers of God's word, as stated in James chapter 1, verse 22. Obedience is the supreme test of faith in God. We must listen and also to be obedient in God's word and instruction, or we must suffer the consequences. Jesus said, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." You can find this in John chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus is also the perfect example of obedience. He led a flawless life as he lived down here on earth as a human. He lived a life on earth of complete obedience to the Father, even until the point of death, as read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Thirdly, we have bearing fruit in order to be a Christian disciple. Bearing fruit. As we read in John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, Christian disciples should live fruitful lives, displaying the fruit of the Spirit, good works, and the peaceful fruit of righteousness, as read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Our job is to abide in Christ, and the fruit will come. John 15, verses 1 through 8 reads as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. In verse 8, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God's goal is that we produce much fruit, as read above. As Christ uses us to bring about a blessed change in this fallen and broken and cursed world. Fourth, loving other disciples. Loving other disciples, as we read in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, reads as follows. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So love for other believers is evidence that we belong to and are members of God's family. As we read in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So love is clearly a quality or a trait that we must have to be a Christian disciple. Love is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, just to name a few of 1 through 13, and we should be pretty familiarized with these verses. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love never fails, and it does not envy. Love believes all things and hopes all things, just to name a few. These verses show us that love is not an emotion, but it's an action, something that needs to be done. And verse 13 reads, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. In order to love, we must be doing something and involved in a process. One way to show that we love is to think more highly of others than we do of ourselves, and to look out for their interest, as read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Fifth, making disciples of others. Making disciples of others. Disciples multiply. One of the last things Jesus had said to his disciples before his ascension was the command to go out and make disciples of all nations. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This involves evangelism, sharing the gospel, sharing God's word, urging people to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. But it also involves discipleship. Christians should be actively engaged in the training of people to have them to turn their lives into followers of Christ. Also, that process involves training these individuals to train other people. That's the pattern that we see throughout the Bible in Jesus' ministry. He trained his disciples who spent the rest of their lives as disciple makers, as they were training others to also become disciple makers, and so on and so on. We see this pattern also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It reads as follows, "And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." A Christian disciple is one who should once again put Christ first. Someone is honest, someone that is truthful, someone that obeys the Lord. Someone also that produces good fruit, loves others, and makes more disciples. Such a one is sure to make an impact on today's society and in this crazy world that we live in today. We should also count the cost, as Jesus referenced in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. In Luke 14, Jesus lays out the terms of discipleship. There were great crowds that were following him. Everyone loved the miracles and to watch everything that Jesus was doing. They loved the miracles, they loved the healing, and they loved the free food. Jesus was the talk of the town. Everyone was talking about him, but Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew they desired the benefits of what he did rather than understanding exactly who he was. They loved his gifts, but not the life that he was calling them to. Jesus warns them that following him will have a cost, so that they should take note and take heed before signing up to be a disciple. Life as a true disciple of Jesus Christ is not an easy task, and it's not an easy path as well. But we each must decide if it is worth the cost. So Jesus explained what it takes to be one of his followers in Luke 14, verses 26 through 33. And it reads as follows, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or his mother and wife and children or brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all will see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down and first deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks him for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Jesus said a lot in these previous verses on clearly what it means to count the cost. Obviously, examining the terms and everything that it will entail before becoming a follower of Christ. He made it clear that it won't be easy being a disciple following Christ. Although Jesus said, if you can't do this list of things, you cannot be my disciple. Also, the gift of eternal life is free to anyone who asks, as read in John 3:16. The asking requires a transfer of ownership, if you will. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 reads, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Counting the cost means recognizing and agreeing to some terms in the beginning. In following Christ, we simply can't follow our own inclinations to do what we want to do or do what we necessarily think is best. We have to make sure that we're following Christ. In following Christ, we can't follow Christ and the world's way simultaneously. Following Christ may mean that we lose relationships. It may mean that we lose some of our dreams, material things, or even our lives. Those who are following Jesus simply for what they can get won't stick around when the going gets tough, and the road will get tough. When God's way conflicts with our way, we tend to feel betrayed and shallow, and that me faith, me first mentality starts to kick in. If we have not counted the cost of being a child of God and being a disciple, we will turn away at the threat of a sacrifice and find something else to gratify our selfish desires. In Jesus' earthly ministry, there came a time when the free food had stopped and the public opinion had turned ugly. The crowds that used to welcome Jesus were now jeering crowds. And Jesus knew ahead of time that this was going to happen. Jesus ended his description of the cost of discipleship with a breathtaking statement. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple, as read in Luke 14:33. Renouncing may mean that we give up something physically, but more often it means that we let go emotionally so that we possess no longer what possesses us. When we become one of his, we cannot continue to belong to this world, as read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We must make a choice, for we cannot follow man and mammon and serve both God and mammon, as read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The rich young ruler, when confronted with that choice, turned his back on Jesus, as read in verses the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 through 25. People love the idea of eternal life, escaping a life with Satan, escaping the lake of fire. They love just being able to have eternal life, but not at the sacrifice of willing to sacrifice their current lives and all of the things that they do now in the world. Their desires, their lifestyles, their sinful habits are too precious to a lot of people of the world. Their lives may exhibit some type of a small change. They may start attending church. They may stop a particularly large sin that exists in their life. But they want to retain the ownership of everything else. So I believe Jesus is speaking to those with that mindset in those verses that we read in Luke chapter 14. We cannot earn salvation by a lifestyle change or any other good deed. It's clearly read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But when we choose to follow Christ, we are releasing control of our lives. Personally, when I'm facing major decisions in my life, I like to review the pros and cons and essentially count the costs. Determine the value. What am I sacrificing? What am I losing? What am I gaining? With many major decisions in my life or when I'm facing a particular issue, that's my resolution and my go-to theory, counting that particular cost through my pros and cons. When counting the costs, one must also consider the benefits. Forgiveness of sins, as read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The ability to have our sins forgiven from Christ, I would definitely say, is a benefit to being a disciple and a follower of Christ. Eternal life in heaven, as read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Living forever is definitely indeed a benefit to being a Christian disciple. No more worry about pain, death, achy muscles, sorrow, or personal loss. A restored relationship with God is read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. A stronger relationship with the person that created us is definitely a benefit to have being a disciple of Christ. The Holy Spirit's presence to guide and comfort is read in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. The availability to have access to the Holy Spirit by being a Christian disciple. The value must take into account what it costs God to make this transaction even possible. So taking into consideration what the person that created us gave up or what he sacrificed. Our healing came from Jesus' wounds, as read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Our salvation came from his death on the cross, as read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Our reconciliation with God came at the loss of his son, as read in John 3:16. Our gift of the Holy Spirit came from Christ dying and leaving, as read in John 14, verse 28. If we're going to be disciples of Christ, we must first count the cost of following him. We should remember that it costs Christ and what God has given us in return. In closing, the word clearly points out what we need to do and what needs to be done to be a disciple of Christ. We need to put God's word first in our lives. We need to follow God's word. He left his scriptures. He left his word behind to give us instructions on how to live our lives down here accordingly. Bearing fruit. Loving your fellow brethren. As well as making disciples of others. As Christians, we must continue to be focused on Christ daily and live in his word. As Christians, we know and understand the consequences of not following God's word. As Christians, we need to live our lives in a way that represents God and that also honors him. We may struggle along the way, but we have Christ to assist us throughout our struggles. As a Christian, maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with something in your life. Maybe you've fallen off of the path of righteousness and you need to ask for forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Christ and you would like to establish that. If anything has sparked you or pricked your heart tonight to want to come forward, please do so at this time as we stand and sing the chosen song of invitation.